The scripture lesson for today is a Bible story that I bet you don't know. But don't take the bet. You'll see why you shouldn't as the story unfolds. From 1 Kings chapter 5. Now King Hiram of Tyre sent his servants to Solomon, and when he had heard that they had anointed him king in place of his father, Hiram had always been a friend of David, and so he sent his servants. Solomon sent word to Hiram saying, "You know that my father David could not build a house for the name of the Lord, his God, because of the warfare with which his enemies surrounded him until the Lord put them under the soles of his feet. But now the Lord my God has given me rest on every side. There is neither adversary nor misfortune. So I intend to build a house for the name of the Lord my God, as the Lord said to my father David, your son, whom I will set on your throne in your place, shall build a house for my name. Therefore command that cedars from Lebanon be cut for me. My servants will join your servants, and I will give you whatever wages you set for your servants. For you know that there is no one among us who knows how to cut timber like the Sidonians." When Hiram heard the words of Solomon, he rejoiced greatly and said, "Blessed be the name of the Lord today, for he has given to David a wise son to be over this great people." Hiram sent word to Solomon, "I have heard the message that you have sent me, and I will fulfill all your needs in the matter of cedar and cypress timber. My servant shall bring it down to the sea from Lebanon, and I will make it into racks to go by sea to the place you will indicate. I will have them broken up there that you may take them away. And you shall meet my needs by providing food for my household." So Hiram supplied Solomon every need for timber, cedar, and cypress. Solomon, in turn, gave Hiram 20,000 coors of wheat as food for his household and 20 coors of fine oil. Solomon gave this to Hiram year by year. So the Lord gave Solomon wisdom, as he promised him. There was peace between Hiram and Solomon, and the two of them made a treaty. King Solomon conscripted forced labor on all Israel. The levy numbered 30,000 men. And he sent them to Lebanon, 10,000 a month in ships. They would be a month in Lebanon and 2 months at home. Adoniram was in charge of forced labor. Solomon also had 20,000 laborers and 80,000 stone cutters in the hill country. Besides Solomon's 3,300 supervisors who were over the work, having charge of the people who did the work. At the king's command, they quarried out great costly stones in order to lay the foundation of the house with dressed stones. So Solomon's builders and Hiram's builders and the Gebelites did the stone cutting and prepared the timber and the stones to build the house. At the end of 20 years, in which Solomon had built the two houses, the house of the Lord and the king's house, King Hiram of Tyre, having supplied Solomon with cedar and cypress, timber and gold, as much as he desired, King Solomon gave to Hiram 20 cities in the land of Galilee. When Hiram came from Tyre to see the cities that Solomon had given him, they did not please him. Therefore he said, "What kind of cities are these that you have given me, my brother?" So they are called the land of Kabul to this day. But Hiram sent to the king 120 talents of gold. So ends the reading of God's holy word. Hiram who? King of what? Sounds like one of those old-fashioned Bible quizzes that most people have trouble answering. Now there are some folks who soak up Old Testament history the way others know batting averages for every baseball player that ever lived. Or rich recipes for the most delicious whatever. Or fishing techniques for all kinds of weather and every time of year. But sometimes we all get the urge to picture the guy spouting batting averages and RBIs and stolen bases. So what? All I said was it was a great game. Or to the friend with the great recipe, don't you want to hear my recipe? Might not be as great as yours. Or to the fishing expert, so when did you publish your last article in Field and Stream? Seems to me I just read what you said, but I didn't notice your name on the title page. In other words, we all get a little jealous, or at least a little peeved, when somebody knows something and knows we don't. So, Hiram who and King of what tempts us to ask, so, and so what? What difference does that tiny little Bible story that if you've read the Bible cover to cover, you probably don't remember anyway? What does that have to do with today's letter? Well, look at the very last verse. Hiram had sent to the king 120 talents of gold. If it wasn't for that, we wouldn't even be asking Hiram who and King of what. And we missed the lesson next year in this portion of Scripture, why it was recorded for us. Ask yourself, from what we read about Solomon owing Hiram all that money, why is Hiram paying Solomon? The answer to that question will lead us on the trail to answer, what's the lesson here for us? First, we have to look carefully at what the scripture lesson told us. Hiram was King David's best friend. David was Solomon's father. Now, Hiram and David had a friendship that began for military and political purposes, but then it developed into a genuine personal relationship, so much so that when Hiram heard that David was making preparations to build the great temple, he volunteered his architects and engineers and builders, all experts. And of course, they came from a long ways away, and that's what made them experts, because we all know even today, to be an expert, you have to be consulted ourselves. Anyway, David and Hiram were great friends. They had changed ambassadors for many years. And then David died. His son Solomon took over, and he also took over the temple project. He was used to the best, so he wanted the best. And he said to Hiram, not only is your cedar lumber the longest lasting and the sweetest smelling, your lumberjacks, your millwrights are the best. Name your price, any price, I'll pay. I'll even furnish the unskilled labor, the brawn. You furnish the brain. Well, Hiram's people need to work. And so Hiram said, you throw in the food, and here's the way we'll deliver. We'll float rafts down to you. It's fast, it makes a little damage to transport, and it all sounded good. But it really turned out to be quite an undertaking. If you total up all the people that Solomon had to draft, it's 183,001. The one being the project director, Adoniram. And, just like all government projects, the cost overruns were terrible. So much so that at the end of 20 years, Solomon had to pay out by seeding 20 cities in Galilee because he was short on cash. And believe me, he was short on cash because no king would ever give up real estate if he had any money. Well, Hiram wasn't too thrilled with the deal either. Because when he inspected the cities that David, that Solomon paved him with, he called them Kabul, which translates good for nothing. And all that brings us to that last verse and the question, so why did Hiram end up paying Solomon when it was Solomon who owed Hiram? To answer that one, we have to go to the Jewish historian Josephus, who helps us fill in the details and seal up the cracks on this rather Solomon. He also excelled and distinguished himself in wisdom above those who were most eminent among the Hebrews at a time for shrewdness. Now here, shrewd means mischievous, wily, tricky, clever. In a word, sneaky. Josephus even went on to say that Solomon knew more than the Egyptians knew, and at that time everybody knew that the Egyptians knew everything. Or at least everybody thought they did. And then Josephus goes on to report a little game that Solomon and Hiram liked to play with each other. They would send problems and riddles to each other and see if they could stump each other. Now remember, Solomon was shrewd. So he probably gave Hiram a few simple riddles. And then came the next step, and some of you have already guessed what it was. Solomon said, let's make this just a little more interesting. I'll bet you so much you can't answer this one. And Hiram took the bait. He got caught. He lost the bet. So we find Hiram with 20 no-count cities, and yet he stays on. The answer is riddle. Why was Hiram the payer and not the payee? But there's more. Hiram may have been a fool, or at least fooled once, but he wasn't stupid. He bided his time. Then he asked Solomon if they could try that little wager thing once more. And this time it was Solomon who took the bait, hook, line, sinker, and anchor. Hiram had recruited his own resident wise guy, Adnima, his name was. And he not only answered Solomon's riddle, but he came up with one that Solomon couldn't answer. And you know who paid whom then. Solomon paid dearly, not just money. But this whole business cost him a good, solid friendship built by his father David. And nobody, even Solomon, can afford to lose a good friend. Now, if we take a combination of what we know from the Bible and what we know from Jewish history, we can find some very obvious lessons. The first is, shrewd, which Solomon was, isn't always so smart, which in this case Solomon wasn't. He cheated Hiram after he agreed to pay Hiram's price. And then he tried to do it again. And then he was beaten in his own game. That lesson can be applied to business, ethics, politics, interpersonal relationships, international relationships, and just plain old day-to-day living. Secondly, friendship to last has to be mutual. When one friend starts to take advantage of another friend, presuming upon that relationship, big trouble is in store. Do you ever notice how we all take advantage of family and friends that we wouldn't think of doing with strangers or acquaintances? And it goes farther in those situations because, well, can't you just imagine Hiram thinking, remember good old David? I wonder what David's kid's up to now. He won't cheat me. I used to give that kid candy when I visited his dad. Surely I can trust little old Solomon. When friends start to use friends, there's trouble ahead. And part of that trouble is a dying friendship. That friendship didn't go out in a blaze of glory or with fury. Solomon and Hiram didn't go to war. They just went their own separate ways, each thinking they'd been wrong by the other. And that cost them that friendship experienced a slow, painful death. And that happens when friendships are mistreated. Finally, notice how Solomon began to worship his gift of wisdom rather than the God who gave him that gift. Trusting God's gift is wrong when the gift takes the place of God. To put that another way, self-reliance can become a very ugly idol. God gives us talent and strength and wisdom and resources and family and friends, and we end up saying, oh, you know, God must be very proud of me. I'm doing such a nice job taking care of my family and my future. I'll bet God wishes there was more of me around. And when we do that, our attitude is very far from thankfulness and very close to the Hebrew word for idol. The second meaning for the Hebrew word for idol is worthless. It's the way the Hebrew language says worshiping anything but God is foolish. And we are in real danger of the idol of self-reliance, which is worthless. Especially when we're not thankful. And that is Solomon's mistake. You keep reading about it again and again. By the time we get to the 11th chapter of Kings, we read, therefore, the Lord said to Solomon, since this has been your mind, and you have not kept my covenant, my statutes, which I have commanded you, I will surely tear the kingdom from you and give it to your servant. We don't have to be as rich or as shrewd as Solomon to make the same mistake. And one of the best preventions for not making those kinds of mistakes is summarized for us in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, part we call the Beatitudes. And that's our New Testament lesson for today. Take your hymnal and turn with me to selection 201. We read responsibly. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me.
Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you.
May God keep us faithful, thereby not only save us from our mistakes, but lead us into life as He intends. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, we bless you for the scriptures which speak to us about real life that we might respond with real faith. Encourage us to listen and to act upon the direction of your word. Amen.